If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters. All right, hour number two of the program begins right now. Seren Petro with you. Rudy Salazar with me here at the Sprint Store. We're a town center location where you can come down and register for free for the Thanksgiving Day 5K run. You've got until 6 o'clock, so if you're listening at work or listening to us online or on your Sprint phone with our 810 app, you got till 6 o'clock. So do it on your way home from work. Come on by. And, of course, all the great devices are here. Like I said, my Sprint iPad is absolutely the bomb. I'd encourage you, if you work on the move, to check it out. It is fantastic. First, we're also giving away tickets to the Chiefs and Raiders game. Don't have to be present to win, but make sure you get in and register. We're going to be giving away a pair of tickets, lower-level tickets, with a parking pass as well, plus tickets to the Hall of Fame Classic games at Sprint Center on November 25th and 26th. And we've got Mavericks tickets. We've got Pig and Swig tickets. Come on down and see us here at the Sprint Store. All right, that's the location, is 4901 Town Center Drive here in Leawood. Matt Beasler is going to be here from 3:30 to 4:30, so you can talk to the captain of Sporting Kansas City, national team icon, and, of course, one of the greatest players in the history of Sporting Kansas City, maybe the greatest player in the history of Sporting Kansas City. He's going to be here, so come on by, get an autograph, say hello, and meet one of the best guys you're going to meet in professional athletics, Matt Beasler, central defender for Sporting Kansas City, going to be here from 3:30 to 4:30. So come on down, signing autographs, taking pictures. Ladies, he is married. Okay, happily married, so be careful. I know he's a slick-looking dude, but be careful. Guy's married, all right? So just remember that when you come by. All right, our buddy Peter Yates Enoch joins us here in the program right now. He is back at our studios. Peter, how are you, my friend?
Doing fine, Seren, and I'm really happy to announce that maybe you didn't know this, Usain Bolt's going to be there from 5 to 6.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
Okay, I can't wait to hear this.
I have no idea where this is going, but he's not.
Is
going
there a
to be
greater
here.
Sprinter?
Sprint.
Oh, there we go.
I knew you'd catch up sooner or later. Yeah.
Wow. That's not even dad humor. That's grandpa humor.
No, that's like, hell it is.
That is way out there.
The people
that
at Sprint would love to have Usain there. You kidding me?
Yeah. I'm sure they would. Okay. It would be fantastic.
Grandpa humor? Oh, for God's sake. I've dipped the lowest now, haven't I? Jesus Christ.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, not much. How you guys doing over there?
Good. Very good, as a matter of fact. Yes, we're
fine
very
excited. Fine athlete coming in there later, young Mr. Beasler. He's a tremendous athlete, and what I understand, I've met him, but he's a tremendous person, too.
He is. Indeed he is. Great guy. Yeah. And great to have him here, you know, as a member of Sporting Kansas City.
Right.
And, of course, and as a member of Kansas City, Kansas City's own, born and raised.
He's a fine representative of this city.
Yes, he is. All right, Pete, let's get ready for some Jed lines. Jed Marshall has scoured the internet. He has looked high. He has looked low for the best stories that are out there, as I mentioned earlier.
Stay low, Jed. Stay low.
Yeah. Just alphabetically, you can tell that these are two steps up the food chain from headlines because they're Jed lines. Jed, what do you got for us?
I certainly searched high. I will say that, Seren. Let's get to one of the bigger news stories that I'm sure you guys actually probably have seen. The initial BCS playoffs were announced for the college football playoffs. Ohio State at number one, LSU at number two, University of Alabama at number three, and Penn State at number four, with Clemson looking in at number five. Obviously, a lot can change with the games that are upcoming. Did the committee get it right, at least initially?
You know, I don't know where you are, Pete. Listen, I don't like moving off my – and I, of course, I've got an AP vote – I don't, and I think I'm going to be getting a Heisman Trophy vote as well, it looks like. I don't like moving off my preseason analysis till a team loses. I get that Clemson had a close one with North Carolina, but everybody has a close one. I look at the other teams that are undefeated that haven't had a close one and just say, That's coming. Will they win that day? Clemson had a bad day, and they still found a way to win. No team just hammers everybody. And so, you know, whether it's Minnesota getting a loss, whether it's Penn State getting a loss, Ohio State, they're going to have a bad day. Do they win on the day that they have a bad day? So I don't like to penalize a team, really, and back them up till they have at least two bad days, two ugly losses. It's true Clemson's schedule is not the best. Neither is Alabama, by the way. Both of them's best win is against Texas A&M. So neither one of them have great schedules, and hence Ohio State and LSU have moved up in front of them. I think Ohio State's schedule is a little bit overrated. I don't think it's near as good as people are making it out to be. So they're winning big, but they're winning big against teams that aren't that great. What do they have? Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, Penn State, Clemson?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, they did not get it right. Clemson
should
not
be fifth. No, they didn't get it right at all. And Penn State is an Ivy League wannabe. They stink. They're not going to even be in the top 10 when this is all over this year. But I'll tell you this much. Pissing Clemson off is not wise, I don't think. Because, yes, they are a little bit hampered this year by the lack of, you know, all the guys that went off that defensive line last year. But I think Clemson is still a pretty good squad. I think that young quarterback there, I think he's going to rise to the occasion when they get there. So I think I agree with you, Seren. I think Ohio State's a little bit overrated. And I think Alabama and LSU, we're going to see if that's not a close game, somebody's going to fall right there. But Penn State, no, I'm sorry, man. No, Joe Paterno, the whole bunch of you stink. Go back. Go home. I'm sorry. Just don't like them.
Wow.
No. They're an Ivy League wannabe. Syracuse used to miss. Okay. They aren't in the Ivy League. Well, Penn State thinks they ought to be, and maybe they should be. They might win the Ivy League, but they aren't going to win the Big Ten. It ain't going to happen.
What a knock on someone trying to be an Ivy League school. Yeah, what a poor effort.
What a terrible
goal. I think the point is, though, that they act like they are
they
one, and academically
like, yeah.
they are
yeah,
not.
Yeah, they do. No, they aren't. No, I can go to Penn State. I can graduate there in 2.5 years. Maybe two
today.
And a half weeks. I don't know.
Still.
Yeah.
Just
and,
online
and
courses.
And I can't do that in an Ivy League school.
Just
me full four.
Okay. Just online courses you could do it, Pete.
Yeah. Curtis, they get it right?
Yeah, because here the only issue, if you don't think Clemson is if you think Clemson is better than Penn State or one of the other teams, that's fine. That's an argument to have. But to me, to think at 8, 9, 10 weeks into the season that one team should be ranked ahead of another team simply because that's what was thought of them 4 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago, I don't buy that. Just because that they were up there, they don't lose their spot because they haven't lost. I'm not in line with that. If 8 or 9 weeks of football has shown the voters that Clemson's the fifth best team in the country, I don't care where they were at the beginning of the year.
Best team in the country? Are you telling me that the four other teams are better than Clemson? The thing that I think. Sorry, I asked you a question, then I interrupt. It's kind of what I always do. But the thing that annoys me, like when everyone gets upset about their polls, I really don't care unless there's something that's just stupid. Like, I'm sorry, I don't think Missouri deserves to be 13 in the preseason AP basketball bowl.
Right.
That one, and that's so bad, it's just kind of comedic. But you know, you can vote one of two ways. What do you think the best teams are? In other words, if we were going to play, you know, 10,000 games, you know, the old Paul Basir prediction machine, 10,000 games between each of these teams all the way, how would it ultimately rank? Who are the best? Or you can do it, who has the best resume?
Yeah.
And I get it. But everybody is now turned to who has the best resume. Clemson can only beat the teams that are put in front of them. Mm-hmm. And I heard the same thing last year when I had Clemson number one and Alabama was passing them everywhere, even though Clemson hadn't lost. And everyone said, well, Alabama's got better wins. I said, but I still think Clemson's the better team. Alabama has the better resume, but Clemson's the better team. All right, now, later Clemson had some struggles with Syracuse, and they lost their quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, had concussions, and I knocked him down for that because I didn't know who was going to end up playing quarterback, were they going to end up with a third-string quarterback. I moved Alabama in front of them because without Lawrence, I didn't think that they were better than Alabama. But to my point to this is I get that they don't have the resume, but when they play head-to-head, is LSU going to be favored? LSU moved in front of Alabama. Vegas has Alabama 6.5-point favorites. Why? Because they think Alabama's better, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So to me, there's kind of like the resume or who's better, and the spread tells us who's better,
right?
At least by the only people that have a monetary stake in it. And I'll bet you that if Penn State played Clemson, Clemson's more than a touchdown favorite. So who's better?
By that metric, you would say Clemson.
Clemson's
just remember
better.
This, Saran, on Ohio State, when all is said and done, more is said than done, period.
That's true.
Well
that
said.
Is a
well
great
said
point.
And done, Pete. Yeah,
thank you.
Well point. Over and out.
Next deadline here. This actually will have an effect on the playoff. Tua Tagovailoa is apparently progressing nicely and looks good for Saturday. Nick Saban, though, still putting it up in the air, saying, quote, it's still day-to-day, and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, but he's moving around well and throwing the ball with confidence, end quote. Is Nick Saban milking this for too much?
I'll go on this one first. No. He's not. He's just playing the Andy Reid game.
Like, Andy Saban.
Yeah. You know, is it a waste of time? I think so, because I think Coach O is preparing for Tua. First of all, you don't have to prepare for the other guy because he's not any good. So there's nothing really to sit and worry about on this one. Rudy, didn't you tell me the coach there is the quarterback at Alabama is the former Kentucky quarterback? Is that right? Committed to Kentucky. Okay. Decommitted to Kentucky, went to Alabama. If you're about to go to Kentucky, you weren't right. That good. What was it? Kentucky hasn't had a good quarterback since George Blanda.
Like, exactly. Okay? Exactly.
And I recognize Tim Couch went number one overall, but he proved to be what he was.
He didn't play enough to letter.
Yes. I don't even remember what the question was. What was the question?
Is Nick Saban milking this for all it's worth or too much?
Nah, it's just what Nick Saban does. He's won so many games, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
I guess so. He needs to do something about that hair. We stay in the world of college athletics, but we trend to college basketball. Saran, I'm sure you caught the thrill ride that was the Virginia versus Syracuse game last night.
I can tell you that I actually didn't even know we were playing. That's the level of excitement I have for this year's Syracuse team. But I did catch the aftermath of a game that I said, I don't know if I said this on the air on our program yet, but I was, I don't know who it was I was talking to, but anyway, somebody texted me yesterday, I mentioned on air, that said the Kansas-Duke game set basketball back 3 years. The Virginia-Syracuse game set basketball back to the days of when there were laces on the basketball. I mean.
Well, it was James Naismith's birthday.
And he recognized the game. I think they must have actually had peach baskets up there in honor of that, and they were having to get the ladder out and get the ball out of the peach baskets, and that's what was killing the clock. How do you score 34 points in the three-point era? How do you do it?
The reason why I found this story a little bit more intriguing, though, Saran, is do you know who gave the pregame speech to the Syracuse Orange?
Oh, good Lord.
It was Carmelo Anthony. Should he be invited back to give any more speeches?
Along with Snoop Dogg, yeah.
Listen, I love me some Carmelo Anthony. I always will. His game was a great college game. He belongs in the Hall of Fame because, seriously, I got 4 votes for the Hall of Fame. The Basketball Hall of Fame is a joke. Everybody's
yeah,
in.
It is. So yeah, it is.
He's, it is. Yeah. And he's absolutely a Hall of Famer, but his game does not translate to the modern free flow game of basketball. But he's still a great college player. And you know what? I don't care if we score 34 points every game. Every time he shows up and talks, he hung a banner at Syracuse, and not a Helms banner either, by the way. We've got a couple of those. We don't put them up. He held up a real NCAA championship banner, and he can give any speech he wants to give.
Danny Manning, two guys that carried their teams entirely. And so you got to put – yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. God, he's like the hell of a ball player,
Is there any truth to the story that he was supposed to give the mic up at the end, but he just kept it and kept it and kept it, and then
Kanye West grabbed it? Yeah.
He was still giving the speech in the locker room 10 minutes into the game.
Well, you said earlier, Saran, you said earlier about the peach baskets. It seems like the NCAA was in charge of peach baskets then, because it took them 2 years to put a hole in the damn thing. They kept on putting the ladder over there. But just think of what they could have done. I mean, the game would have been a little faster. It took them 2 years to figure, why don't we just let the ball go through instead of pop it up from the bottom.
Brilliant!
Yeah. Yeah, that is that you know. Listen, they needed was federal intervention, and then they would have made swift changes.
Oh, yeah,
it's like when California comes up with a law, suddenly they change their rules.
Right.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
I guess the politicians were asleep in the peach basket days, Pete.
Must have been.
We'll stay in the world of college basketball. I'm not sure if you guys saw this one, but University of Texas star Andrew Jones came back. He made two brief appearances last year after an ongoing battle with leukemia, but in his first game back this year, he dropped a career high 20 points in 29 minutes. How great of a story is that for this young man?
Does it get any better? A guy coming back from leukemia hangs a career high 20? I mean, that's
the mere fact
that's
he's
awesome.
Even running up and down the court is amazing. Yeah, that's a hell of a story.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely.
And Texas is kind of a sneaky team. You know, I was doing some reading on the college basketball the other day, and I was on the Big 12 teams when I was headed down to Big 12 Media Day, and Shaka Smart's got kind of a sneaky team. I don't know what it's going to be, and we're going to find out a lot more about how he is as a coach. And let Shaka Smart be your guide. You know, it's one thing to do pretty good in a lesser league and rise up and pull an upset here and there. It's another thing to grind out wins against high-level competition, game after game after game, like you have to do in the big boy leagues. This is a make-or-break year for Shaka Smart.
Saran, they didn't hire him to be 500 there. Is he on the warm seat or the hot one?
Oh, I think it's red hot.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think
they want to excel
gone.
In basketball at Texas, and they didn't. You know, they got rid of one coach. Tom Penders couldn't do it either, but they didn't hire this guy to be 500.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. He's got to win. What's amazing is his name still comes up with like big programs.
Yeah, right.
Right, he's at a big program with tons of resources, and he's getting lapped by Chris Beard at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And they're still talking about it. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but he could end up like Terry Bowden. I mean, back.
Yeah.
Up and then back.
When you mentioned the name Chris Beard, Saran, at least Texas Tech had the foresight to extend him. Chris Beard is a UT alum, so it might be interesting to see how that dynamic goes if Shaka Smart is not able to get it going this year. The next deadline we go to, and we only have a couple more because we need to get to Stumping the Chumps, Giancarlo Stanton is openly campaigning for the Yankees to not only sign Gerrit Cole, but also Steven Strasburg, saying, quote, "You can never go wrong with Cole and Strasburg," Stanton says. Do you think that the Yankees make a move for either of these pitchers?
Man, I think they do for one of them, and I think it's probably Strasburg. Everybody, that luxury tax, for whatever reason, is doing the job it was supposed to do. I don't understand why these mega market clubs don't just blow right through it. I know there are penalties, but they've got the money. But it does speak to the fact that, competitive nature, the thirst to win has a limit, and it's right after your money. When it comes to rich people, they're notoriously cheap. And so even though they've got the money to spend to go into that luxury tax, these rich owners don't want to do it. I'll tell you some stories someday about what I've heard from some folks that have to deal with the uber rich. But, listen, they've got everything they need. They could grab both those guys and win three or four World Series right here. Of course, they could grab both of them and not win it. I think they go for one of them. I think it's Strasburg that they go for, and Cole goes to the Angels back home, back out west. Although I've heard the Padres could be in on Strasburg. That'd be great if the Padres keep spending money and the Yankees won't do it.
That would be pretty ironic. And last one, former Yankee Alex Rodriguez is in the news talking about our friend or old friend, a guy you and Curtis had a chance to cover, Carlos Beltran, saying, quote, "He's a baseball savant and the Mets are going to love him." What do you think? With the endorsement of A-Rod, is Carlos Beltran going to be a success as Mets manager?
No, it's a disaster. It's a complete disaster. Pete, you know this as well as I do.
Agree.
Number one, he took the job of the Mets, so that's going to end poorly.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the big reason.
It's the Mets, and they don't know what they're doing.
It's getting to be like, anything in New York now. When you were talking about the Yankees, they could have the 70 Baltimore Orioles pitching staff and still screw it up. So it's in New York. It's in the toilet. So both teams. And the Jets, look at the teams in New York now. Everybody stinks. God.
Well,
I mean, the Yankees don't stink, but, I mean, God, New York is just, ugh.
Don't be a one-syllable team that rhymes with the word bets. Mets, Jets, Nets.
Yeah.
I mean, they've collectively peed about, what, three drops? You got Super Bowl III for the Jets. You got, one World Series championship for the Mets. No, two. Two World Series championships for the Mets, and the Nets got to the finals once.
Yeah, and the New York Sets, the tennis team, is defunct. So, what do you got? Why rhyme all these? Because all of them just ended up in the toilet.
I don't get it. No, he will not have success because the Mets are a terrible franchise. Managers can't actually manage their way to championships. GMs have to go get them talent, and the Mets will screw that up. And then when A-Rod jumps on board, you are completely screwed.
A-Rod just ought to tend to his lovely lady and worry about his wedding because that's all he's
worried
about
Has this show debuted yet? His goofy TV show they've advertised a million times?
God knows what.
Well, I have not seen anything on that. I wasn't exactly peeling my eyes for it, though.
Yeah, well, he's got some show.
He's a pretty lucky man.
Out.
He's got that lady, and he ought to just take care of her, period. If he doesn't, I will.
He's an odd cat.
Yes, he is an odd duck. Yeah.
All right, we will take a break, come back. It's time to stump the chumps. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. It's yours. All you got to do is stump the chumps right now at 913-310-810. Great Cajun food out at the Legends by the racetrack, 39th and State Line, right there by the Med Center. Wonderful original Jazz. And, of course, in Independence by Silverstein Ice Center Arena. We've got Mavericks tickets here, Pig and Swig tickets. If you'd like to go, just come by and ask for them. We'll give you those while they last. Also getting people signed up. For free to the annual Thanksgiving Day 5K run and family stroll. And Matt Beasler's here taking pictures, signing autographs, hanging out. Your chance to meet the captain of Sporting Kansas City. He is here, a big fan of Sprint, and signing autographs. I'll get you registered to win tickets to the Chiefs and Raiders on December 1, as well as tickets for the Hall of Fame Classic on November 25th and 26th. All kinds of great things for you here at the Sprint store right by Town Center. 4901 Town Center Drive. It's the program live at Sprint.
The program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. If you're willing to put your reputation in jeopardy.
This is Jeopardy.
And want to press your luck.
Big box, stop. Stop that.
Call now and stump the chumps.
There's no cash to be won.
But who wants to be a millionaire anyway?
Is this your final answer?
We have dinner for two as a prize. If you're alone and the price is right.
Have your pets spayed or neutered.
You may be able to take a blind date. Who knows? There may be even a love connection.
Next, there's Alan. His favorite pastime is playing with his computer.
Stump the Chumps. Seren Petro, Pete Enoch, and Curtis Seabolt.
Yes, indeed. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. That's what we're playing for. All you got to do is stump the chumps, ask us a question. We don't know the answer. Get the question we ask you back right. You're going to go to dinner at Jazz. Great Cajun food, great live music. They'll have it all three locations tonight at Jazz. It's a great spot to meet some friends for happy hour or take the whole family out. My kids love Jazz. My wife and I love Jazz. Pete loves Jazz. Mm-hmm. Everybody a big fan of the great Cajun food at Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. I'm broadcasting live at the Sprint store here at Town Center. Matt Beasler is here taking pictures, signing autographs. Just talking to Matt about the season and the off season and what's coming up. A little rest for the guys from Sporting Kansas City. Not much rest for Matt. He'll be running in the 5K on Thanksgiving Day. The annual Thanksgiving Day 5K run and family stroll. He and his wife are big runners, and his wife is tremendous. Nate's talked about his charity event and how she absolutely dominates it. In fact, I think smoked the field while pushing a stroller. There's talk that Matt is not even the best athlete in his family, but you can come by and ask him about that. Ask him why his wife is a better athlete than he is. But the great Matt Beasler is here at the Sprint store, so get your soccer balls, your hats, your photos, anything you want autographed, and just get to meet one of the best guys in Kansas City sports and maybe the best soccer player ever to come from Kansas City. He's right here at the Sprint store until 4:30. We're at the Sprint store by Town Center, 4901 Town Center Drive. That's just a stone's throw north of 119th and just a stone's throw west of row to give you an idea where we are at. Let's get to it. We got people who want to eat some great Cajun food. They got to stump the chumps. Jed, Curtis, Pete, where do we begin?
We begin with Dick. You're in the program. Stump the chumps, Dick.
Hello, chumps. Yeah. Can you tell me who hit the only World Series Game 7 Grand Slam?
Grand Slam.
Game winning like Grand Slam?
No, not game winning, just Game 7 Grand Slam.
Oh, Game 7.
My goodness.
Game 7.
Was there one in that Game 7 in 60, the Pittsburgh?
You mean,
it was a high-scoring game.
You mean with Mazeroski?
Yeah, was there one in that game somewhere else?
Could have been, because his final score was, what, 13-12 or so?
Yeah, I think it was 10-9.
10-9, yeah.
Man.
I don't recall. I wonder if it's
Did the Astros and Dodgers in that – didn't that Game 7 go back and forth, or am I confusing one of the earlier games?
One of the earlier, I think Game 5 was the one that was like 13-12 or 12-11 or something like that.
Huh. Man.
Jeez.
I don't recall a 7. I mean, no, I know it's true, but I mean, I just don't recall who did it. Huh. Grand Slam.
Mickey Mantle. I mean, he hit a lot of Grand Slams. He was in a lot of World Series games. So.
Yeah, he's got the record for World Series home runs. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What are you saying, Curtis?
Let's just go with Mickey Mantle. He had a lot of Grand Slams.
He had the most.
I'll give you a hint. It was a New York Yankee.
Wow. How about Lou Gehrig?
So it wasn't Mantle.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gehrig had a lot of grannies.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, you want to try that?
Yeah, why not?
All right, we'll try Lou Gehrig.
No, it was Moose Skirin.
Bill Skirin. God.
Oh, man.
The Moose man.
Let's see. I think this is true. Name a Kansas City Royal who threw multiple no-hitters.
Steve Busby.
I'm a moron. Yes, he did. That was an easy one. Nice job. I was thinking back because I'm out of the baseball mode, and I was looking through one of my questions, and I had Homer Bailey is like one of only like a couple of guys with active multiple no-hitters, and I forgot, for God's sake, one of the Royals did it as a Royal.
Royal, yeah, right.
That happens.
Oh, my Lord.
Dick knows his baseball.
Yeah, it happens.
Yes. Yes, I should have been more prepared for a great baseball mind like
Dick's. He does have a great baseball mind.
All right. Yes, he does. Where are we going next, Kay?
Let's go to Rodney. You're in the program. Stump the chumps. Rodney.
Oh, you had a big screech there. Sorry.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Rodney. What do you got, buddy?
Hot Rod, Jacobs, go. Rod.
Yeah, the Chiefs have a losing record against what AFC West franchise?
I would.
Former or
yes.
Seattle?
Ooh. Oh, well, Seattle? Former, he said. So the Seahawks are the only other team that's been in the AFC West, right?
They were in there, weren't they?
Yeah, we got it. We're chatting now.
Yeah, we're.
The Seahawks are the only other team that's been in the division, right?
Right.
The Buccaneers were there for a year, but I don't think but the one year they played, the Bucs were over, so they wouldn't have lost to them. So,
it's got to be the Seahawks.
I bet it is.
We'll take the Seahawks.
No, I was speaking in franchise history.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll say the Seahawks.
Yeah, they have a losing record versus the Bucs, 5-7.
Oh, yeah, I guess I wasn't thinking the fact that they played them since they left.
Who was
any team that ever.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey has a pretty good chance to be the MVP. I mean, he has a decent chance to be the MVP this year. Name a Hall of Famer with the first name of Christian.
NFL
Hall of Famer with the first name of Christian.
Hmm.
Did he not go by it?
No.
That's a low blow.
That's toughy.
Okay, well, it is a low blow, but I'll give it a whirl.
Okay.
I'm just out of S's and G's. I'll go with Bronco Nagurski.
How about I'll give you a hint here.
Please.
Have you got any kids?
I do have one child, yes.
And is it a boy?
It is not. It's a girl.
Well, did you want a sonny boy, did you? Did you want a sonny for a kid, a son?
Okay.
Sonny?
No, I didn't. I wanted a daughter, that, which is fine, but maybe Sonny Jurgensen?
There you go, man.
There you go. Well done, all Rodney. Right.
There you go, Sonny Jurgensen.
I'm pretty sure that's Rodney who played in the program picks as well. So this could be a lucrative weekend.
Sound like his voice didn't
for Rodney. Yeah. It sure did. It sure did. And Rodney sounded to me like he's made more than a wager or two in his life.
Yes. Rod Jacobs, I think, is his last name.
Yeah. I'll be in some trouble this week. All right, where do we go next, Kay?
Steve, you're in the program. Stump the Chump, Steve.
Hey, speaking of MVPs, Pete, the current MVP. Patrick Mahomes has got quite a few endorsements going, so we get to see this face on our TVs. He does have a recent ad called New Day with a local financial institution, the Community America guy.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And it ends up, goes life events like new house, new kid, all that stuff. And it ends up with Patrick rooting on his Chiefs in the locker room. And I don't know if any of those guys are actually Chiefs, but there is one other Chief in that commercial. Can you tell me who it is?
Ted McKnight.
In the locker room.
Ted McKnight.
Ted McKnight is right.
Yeah. Wow.
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Isn't he Ted McKnight an officer with the group? Isn't he one of their officers?
He might be, but I think he's the guy in the commercial. He plays a guy I think that's retiring.
Okay.
A retirement party for him or something.
I think he's a banker here in town, isn't he, or something? Yeah.
Could be.
Right. Yeah.
Sharp man. Sharp guy.
All I know is I got it right. That's what
you
I know.
You did get it right. Absolutely.
Yeah, 913-310-810. Who's next?
Next up is T-Box. You're in the program. Stump the Chumps, T-Box.
Hey, Petro. Stellar performance by your Cuse last night, by your Orange.
Thank you.
34 points.
34 points is less than my third grade girls basketball team average last year.
Well, that's solid. There has actually been a team in the shot clock era that has scored less than 34 points in an NCAA tournament game. Can you tell me what team that is?
Oh, God, I think I know who. I think it was Wisconsin that held him to that number, wasn't it?
Princeton?
Well, wasn't it Wisconsin? What was the Virginia coach's dad?
Dick Bennett?
Dick Bennett in Wisconsin just played some atrocious, I mean, he would call it a thing of beauty, some atrocious, like, 44-27, just train wreck. I think Wisconsin's the team
that game.
God, who do they do it to though?
Wow, that's you're on it, man. Almost.
You know what? You know, I don't remember anything about losses really. So I'm praying it wasn't like they beat Syracuse or something.
No, they didn't.
So stupid didn't. That it was us. That we were held to less than 34. God, who did Wisconsin
beat along the way?
What was it, 27?
Is that what it was?
Oh, it was something ridiculous. I'll just take a stab. I'll bet you it was a lower team. Give me Northern Iowa.
Wisconsin was actually the team that only scored 32.
Wow.
The team that beat them was Missouri State.
Oh, that is such a killer.
1999.
Oh, my God. I had the team.
Yeah, you did. I got the comeback.
I had the team. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, go for it.
Who was president the last time Syracuse scored 34 or fewer points?
In football or basketball?
In basketball. It was the fewest points they'd scored since. Who was president?
Bill Clinton. I'll go Bill Clinton.
No. Let me tell you this. Let me give you a clue. That's the lowest output in the Jim Boeheim era. And he's been coaching there since like 70-something, 72, 74.
76.
So it's previous to that.
Oh, previous to that. Okay.
Yeah.
In the Boeheim era?
Before it.
I'll go.
Before it.
Oh, before Boeheim era. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go Jimmy Carter. He's been in the news recently.
That's not even far enough back.
No. It happened February 21st, 1945 against Temple.
Terry S. Truman.
FDR.
That would be FDR still.
Oh, FDR.
Jim Boeheim was 3 months old when that game occurred.
Yes. And living in a mortuary.
And still
that's
had the
right,
same hair.
That's right.
And it's not because he looks like he's dead. That's not a joke. His father was a mortician. And the mortuary was the back of his, or his house was the back of the mortuary. That's where
he had bodies
up.
In the middle of the living room, didn't they?
There were, yes, they would at times. And there are people, some people that say that's what shaped Jim Boeheim's personality. I would not be one of those, but there are those that would say that. We'll take a break and stump the chumps. You can win great Cajun food from Jazz. All you got to do is stump the chumps.
The Program with Soren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB as I broadcast live here at the Sprint Store at Town Center. Matt Beasler's here. He'll be here until 4:30. Get an autograph, get a photo, and get signed up. One of his family's favorite events is the 30th Annual Thanksgiving Day 5K Run. They're on the board for that run. Family stroll as well. You can get signed up for free from now until 6 o'clock, but at 6 o'clock that ends. While the spots are open, they've got X number of spots. Once they're filled, that's done, but they got plenty of spots open. So plan to get over here if you're still working. When you get off work, get to the Sprint Store and get signed up. You'll also be signing up for Chiefs Raiders tickets. Tickets to the Sprint Center games with the Hall of Fame Classic on November 25th and 6th. Ask me about Mavericks tickets or Pig and Swig tickets. Got those for you as well. Just get to your Sprint Store right here in Town Center, the street address 4901 Town Center Drive. Stuff the Chumps brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana Kitchen. Kay, who's next?
Gavin, you're in the program. Go.
Hello, guys. Among quarterbacks taken number one overall in the last 40 years, overall taking them draft number one. Which three have the least starts?
Boy, Tim Couch comes to mind.
DeMarcus Russell.
Oh, God, yeah. We're going to start with DeMarcus Russell.
Russell. Yeah, that's the obvious. Yeah.
Okay. Then Couch did – what was Heisman – a quarterback?
He didn't go.
No, he said just the last 40 years.
Last 40 years. Okay. So since 79. All right, we're going to go Tim Couch next.
Correct.
Are you being tricky and using Kyler Murray?
No.
Okay, because, like, you know.
No.
Didn't have many,
well, who's but... had less than Kyler Murray? Kyler Murray's got 8. So we're going to go Kyler Murray.
I don't have Kyler Murray on my list.
Well,
so
you got to add it, Gavin.
Who do you have?
Well, David Carr, probably.
Who do you have, Gavin?
I got Andrew Luck.
No way. Get Kyler Murray's at last. Yeah. We win.
Gavin,
you're a vet. You know the rules.
If you're going to ask that in a saloon,
thanks,
you got to
do it
right.
Who's next?
Cameron, go. You're in the program.
Yesterday was Walter Johnson's birthday. He is the all-time leader for wins for a pitcher on November 6th birthday. Who is the all-time leader in hits? He's also a fellow Southeastern Kansas native.
Johnny Damon.
Yeah. Adam LaRoche.
Ah.
Oh.
Nice work.
Nice.
Here's one for this weekend, Saran. Okay. Tell us the only active SEC coach to beat Nick Saban in the last 10 years. In other words, if Orgeron wins,
Is he still coaching in the SEC?
Yeah, active SEC coach. The only one to beat Nick Saban the last 10 years.
Gus Malzahn.
Got it, buddy. Good job.
Nice work.
Nice job. Good job. Who's next?
Ed, you're in the program. Go.
Hello?
Go, Ed.
Hey, sorry about that. The Braves had three different cities. What one player got to play as a Brave in all three cities?
Eddie Matthews.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. One more quick.
Mike, go.
Chiefs were the first franchise not to wear gray face masks when they wore white. Who is the next franchise to wear a color other than gray or white?
Ooh, Steelers.
Okay. Is that what you're going with?
Sure.
Yes.
Incorrect. Chargers with yellow.
Hmm.
Ooh, name any one of the Chiefs running backs besides Damian Williams and Jamal Charles to have a run over 80 yards.
Let's go.
Go,
Original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, born on this date, pitcher Joe Niekro. He hit just one home run in his major league career. Off what pitcher did he hit it? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.